unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Hope you had a wonderful weekend. Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. That's 888-623-3646. And as always, to leave your voicemail messages, in case you don't feel like staying on the phone too long to hold, you can always go to SiriusXM.com/get serious. That's SiriusXM.com/get serious. We've got a jam-packed show coming your way today. Can't wait to vibe with the callers today, because I got to tell you, there's so much stuff to get into. There's so much stuff on my mind. The number one order of business is going to be the quarterback positions and the quarterback play. Did you see Sam Darnold yesterday? Did you see J.J. McCarthy yesterday? Did you see Josh Allen yesterday? Did you see Bo Nix and Patrick Mahomes yesterday? Did you see all of that? Okay. See Jared Goff last night. Did you see that? There's a whole bunch of stuff to get into, stuff that we simply can't avoid, and we're definitely going to do that right here on the Stephen A. Smith Show today, because there's a lot to get into. Number one order of business is this. Let's get the studs out of the way first. Matthew Stafford is that dude. L.A. jumps out to a big-time lead, and ultimately, their strong lead at the very, very beginning basically helped them survive, because in the second quarter alone, they were held to a grand total of 1 yard. 1 yard. On three possessions. I mean, Seattle's defense just locked in. That's number one. Number two, they didn't pass midfield in the second half unless it was because of a turnover committed by Seattle. That was the only reason the Rams played in Seattle territory in the entire second half. You'll look at the numbers right there with Matthew Stafford, 2 touchdown passes, but just 15 to 28 for 130 yards. You look at Sam Darnold, 29 for 44, 279 yards. The key number there is that interception, 4 interceptions. See, this is why I told everybody, don't come to me with Sam Darnold, the former New York Jet, the former number three overall pick, okay, that was in Minnesota last year with a 14-2 record before nosediving in the final two games of the year, a regular season finale against the Detroit Lions with a division crowd and the number one seed on the line, and he went to bed, and then he dropped from a 1 seed to a 5 seed only to go to the playoffs against the Rams and get shellacked. Now, that happened. So we look at Sam Darnold this year that, for all intents and purposes, walked into the game yesterday. Okay, walked into the game as a leading candidate for league MVP honors the way that he was playing, and proceeds to throw 4 interceptions. 4 interceptions. That's what we're talking about here that happened to Sam Darnold. There's no way around it. We can slice it any way we want to. No touchdowns, 4 interceptions, no sacks, a season worst 45.5 passer rating. And oh, by the way, take into account that season finale against Detroit. Take into account that playoff game against the Rams. And take into account yesterday. Those are the three biggest games of Sam Darnold's career over the last 2 years. And in those games, combined, he scored 37 points. Combined, 2 touchdown drives in 3 games. Combined, only 1 touchdown pass and 6 turnovers. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry, y'all. Seattle's defense is live. It's real. It's no joke. But when you look at Sam Darnold play that way, you got to ask yourself, what level of true belief are you going to have in the Seattle Seahawks, especially away from Seattle, which is where they usually lose but win, by the way. They were 11-1 on the road coming in to this game over the last 2 years. Their problem is usually playing football at home, not on the road. But with Sam Darnold yesterday, it clearly was a problem. It was a problem. I'm telling you right now, Sam Darnold's the question mark. I will say this, he is the question mark for the Seattle Seahawks. I don't have any questions about Njigba. I don't have any questions about their defense. I don't have any questions about it. I have a question about Sam Darnold. And by the way, switching to other quarterbacks that I have questions about, I'm going to go to J.J. McCarthy on the Minnesota Vikings. Because I got to tell you something right now, watching them lose to the Chicago Bears yesterday afternoon, a game they should have won, to be quite honest with you, that you had Caleb Williams looking completely disgusted and turned off by his crew of people. I don't blame him one bit. I don't blame him one bit. They know they should have lost this game. Devin Duvernay, not Ava Duvernay. Devin Duvernay's 56-yard kickoff return in the final minute set up Santos for his fourth field goal of the game, a 48-yard as time expired that gave the Bears the 19-17 victory over Minnesota. That's what y'all want to look at. Here's what I want to look at. J.J. McCarthy, is he the answer? No. He's just a rookie. The jury is still out. I'm not trying to sit up there and poo-poo his career. He's just getting started. But the reason why it's so important, the whole J.J. McCarthy storyline, okay, is for this reason above all else. Above all else, when it comes to J.J. McCarthy, that's the guy Kevin O'Connell elected to give up Sam Darnold for. Now, Sam Darnold was under a one-year, $10 million contract. And I know that the Minnesota Vikings didn't want to pay. And if you had an opportunity to have a rookie in there that could get the job done, you could spread that wealth elsewhere in the Minnesota Vikings squad. And as a result, you're not giving all the money to the quarterback. And because of it, you could build the team. But we all know the quarterback's the most important position in the National Football League. And if you got Sam Darnold making $33.5 million, there's a reason that Seattle walked into the game yesterday considered one of, if not the best team in football. There's a reason for that. Because their defense is so real, and you know they got an all-world receiver, and Sam Darnold was playing like a league MVP candidate until yesterday. Well, what about J.J. McCarthy? Do y'all know we want to look at it, right? And I understand he played with a wrap on his throwing hand after hurting it on the helmet after a follow-through in the previous game. I get all of that. Ended consecutive second quarter possessions with interceptions and had an alarming amount of off-target passes. It's just the truth, y'all. It's just the truth. But when you look at J.J. McCarthy, he ended the game, completed 50% of his passes, 150 yards, one touchdown pass, two interceptions, a 47.7 passer rating. In his fifth career start, his record is 2-3. Ladies and gentlemen, his first 11 possessions, he only threw for 74 yards with two interceptions before halftime. On passes 10-plus air yards downfield, he was 4 of 14. That's 29% for 76 yards and a pick. On the season, 53% completion rate and 61.7 quarterback rating are both the lowest in the NFL among 38 quarterbacks with a minimum of 100 pass attempts. What is the big deal about J.J. McCarthy? What's the big deal? What am I missing? I just need help. Inquiring minds want to know. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I'm not feeling it. I'm not saying he's a finished product. He's just getting started. I'm sure he'll get better. I'm rooting for him. But I got to tell you something right now. And y'all going to say this is a bit hyperbolic and you don't need to go this far. Damn it, I'm going there. I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't blame Justin Jefferson if he's considering asking for a trade. That's right. I said it. I wouldn't blame Justin Jefferson for considering asking for a damn trade. This is one of the best receivers on the planet. Last year and the year before, we were talking about this brother, destined for the Hall of Fame, looking at him and saying to ourselves, damn, he the best in the world. Legacy is what we were talking about. And we've regressed from that to Minnesota being 4-6. No chance in hell at winning the NFC North. Likely ain't going to make the playoffs because you gave away a quarterback who he's required to have in order to get the damn football. Your all-world player. You're supposed to take care of him. You're supposed to make sure, if nothing else, that you have a quarterback so Justin Jefferson is getting more touches. So Addison is getting more touches. So Hockenson is getting more touches. That's what you're supposed to be doing, but that's not what's happening. So I'm saying to you, if Justin Jefferson were to ask to be traded, I wouldn't blame him. I don't blame any receiver for one now when you don't have a quarterback to throw you the football. That just ain't ready for it. That doesn't mean that J.J. McCarthy doesn't have good moments. His touchdown pass to Addison, I mean, that was a good moment. We've seen him make a convert on a third and 10 by throwing 14 yards a couple of games ago. I get it. He has ability. But to give up a dude that guided you to a 14-2 record just because you were trying to be shortchanged with the dollars, you've thrown Justin Jefferson under the bus, Minnesota. You throw them under the bus. So I'm really sad for Justin Jefferson because we both know. Listen, look at what George Pickens is, what he's doing in Dallas. See how happy he is with Dak Prescott throwing him the football? That ain't Mason Rudolph throwing him the football. That ain't Mitchell Trubisky throwing him the football. That ain't Russell Wilson or Justin Fields throwing him the football. This is George Pickens we're talking about. Look at this brother ball in Dallas. Dallas losing games. Ain't his fault. That should tell you something about how a wide receiver should feel. Give him the damn ball. Give him the damn ball. Justin Jefferson is all world. You got to give him the ball. Let me transition to somebody else who's all world as a receiver. Okay? That would be Jamar Chase. Jamar Chase. Of the Cincinnati Bengals. Cincinnati got their ass kicked yesterday. Steelers gave it to them. Defense made most of the plays. Scored about 14 points for the Steelers. Steelers end up winning the game. But during the game, a fight broke out, essentially, between Jamar Chase and Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey hit him, obviously found himself ejected. And when asked why he did that, ejected for throwing a punch, he informed the world that Jamar Chase had spit on him. I want to make sure we have the sound from Jamar Chase as well as Jalen Ramsey. Let's go to Jalen Ramsey first, telling us what was said.
He spit on me, so it's up. I don't give a fuck about football after that, respectfully.
He said, you don't give an F about football at that point. You spit on the man. Before I go in on Jamar Chase, let me show you why. Listen to what Jamar Chase said when asked what happened.
You were saying that you spit on him? Did you spit on him?
I ain't never opened my mouth to that guy.
What do you think prompted the reaction from him?
Well, he don't like some of the words I told him. We've been going back and forth the whole time, so I'm sure some got under his skin.
So it was building the whole game, it just wasn't on that drive.
And the first time we had an altercation, and then it was the second time.
Is that the first time in your career anybody's ever punched you?
Or did? You seen me get punched?
Looks like you threw a punch.
So, just to be clear, you did not spit on him at all. That's what you're saying.
I ain't spit on nobody.
Ladies and gentlemen, go back and watch the video because I saw Jamar Chase's comments first. And keep in mind, some people spit when they talk. Spit comes out of their mouth by accident. Hell, I'm guilty of that. But that's entirely different than intentionally spitting on somebody. Jamar Chase denied that he spit on Jalen Ramsey. And evidently, he's not familiar with modern times and how cameras are everywhere and everything gets caught. He can clearly be seen spewing a gob of spit on Jalen Ramsey. Clearly, there's nobody that denies it but him. So let me be very clear. It's an automatic 2-game suspension in my estimation. 2 games without pay. That should be what it is. And the NFL should bring the heavy hammer down because you got to set an example because evidently the example that you set by ejecting Jalen Carter from the opener the season opener against Dallas, Jalen Carter for the Philadelphia Eagles, when he spit in the chest of Dak Prescott, evidently doing that and suspending him for that game, ejecting him for that game and what have you, and it be just that wasn't enough. And I'm not trying to throw any shade on Jalen Carter because he hasn't done anything wrong since. But the point that I'm trying to make is that you have to do something because that's the kind of incident that can extend into the halls, into the locker room, and beyond. You don't spit on a man intentionally. You don't do that. See, we gotta man up and we gotta adult up as men and women and beyond. Can't do that. Can't do that. Ja'Marr Chase is my favorite receiver in the National Football League. I think he's an absolute stud. And I'm sorry for him that he has to play for a franchise that can't protect its quarterback, because when him and Joe Burrow are on the field together, we know how special they are and how special they can be. Ja'Marr Chase is electrifying. As a talent, he is a treasure to the National Football League. But what he did there flagrantly crossed the line. And then the lie about it, stone cold lie, straight face and all. I never opened my mouth. BS. We see it. It's clear as day. He spit on that man. It should be an automatic 2-game suspension. And the league should start threatening cats about even lengthier suspensions if they do something like that. Because please understand, ladies and gentlemen, you can get in the fisticuffs, you could shove, you could do a lot of things. You know what you better not do? You better not spit on somebody. It's an automatic fight. It's an automatic fight. And it's the kind of fight that extends beyond the field of play, because it's such a flagrant form of disrespect that you ain't going to be able to stop cats. And be very, very clear. Ja'Marr Chase told a bold-faced lie. So now you can't believe anything he says, because he shows you he knows how to lie. He's pretty damn gifted at it, because he seemed relatively convincing. If it wasn't for the cameras catching him in a lie, then we wouldn't have known. But the cameras are the cameras. They're always there. You're the National Football League. You got to suspend this man a couple of games. And we got to stop this. This is a sport where you're licensed to be violent. There are a myriad of ways to get at a cat other than spitting on them. There's certain things you just don't do. This is one of them. Damian Woody on ESPN's Get Up this morning said it best. He said, I'm not so sure it wouldn't have extended into the locker room. I know plenty of cats that would have went to, we got to see each other. Because you're not getting away with that. And I think that's important to say. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. One other item I wanted to get to before we go to break, and that is Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur Sanders, the QB2, backup quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, finally got to see some action. Dylan Gabriel, the starting quarterback, goes down with a concussion. Miles Garrett is having a hell of a day. Sacked Lamar Jackson 4 times, has 10 sacks in the last 3 games. Just a monster. That's what Miles Garrett is. Just a monster. Clearly doing his job. There was a pick 6. There were 3 turnovers also committed by the Ravens. They struggled miserably against the Browns defense on Sunday. The problem is the Browns couldn't score. And here was the even bigger problem. After Dylan Gabriel exited the game early in the third quarter due to the concussion, he was replaced by Shedeur Sanders, who finally got a chance to be in the game. Ladies and gentlemen, he was awful. Awful. 4 of 16 passing, 47 yards, 1 interception, sacked twice, had a passer rating of 13.5. Ran for his life, scrambled for 3 carries, 16 yards. Only rookie quarterbacks who completed, notable rookie quarterbacks who completed 25% or fewer passes in a game include Hall of Famers Terry Bradshaw and Joe Namath, as well as Eli Manning. But Shedeur Sanders had the worst per-play efficiency rating by any quarterback in any game this season. It was bad. Completed his first couple of passes, and then after that, we couldn't even see if he was a quarterback. It was that bad. Finished 4 of 16. 4 of 16 passing for 47 yards and 1 interception. Before I go into my take about this, let's hear from Shedeur Sanders and what he had to say. Play that.
It's time for me to step up. I don't think I played good. I don't think I played good at all. I think it's a lot of things, you know, we need to look at, you know, during the week, go and just get comfortable even throwing routes, you know, with Jerry and throwing routes with all those guys. The most I can ask for is opportunity. That's an uncontrollable thing that I'm not able to control, and that's not nothing I should speak on, just being the quarterback of this team and this franchise. They gave me an opportunity. I ain't do up to my expectation enough to get us a win. I just got to take that one to the chin.
He was in the game since the early in the third quarter. All the offense could produce was four first downs, 64 yards, and not a single point. NFL scouts, aficionados said the game appeared to be too quick for him, that he routinely held onto the ball too long and was subjected to immense pressure, 11 quarterback pressures and two sacks, by the way. They want to bring that up. They also want to bring up the fact that Cleveland didn't convert a third down until Sanders took off for a five-yard scramble late in the third quarter and finished 2-14 for the day. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say it. This smells. I don't know whether Shedeur Sanders is an NFL quarterback or not, and I don't blame anybody for assuming and surmising that he may not be. But how does he get zero snaps with the first team? How a player is able to say they were unfamiliar with his snap count? He wasn't prepped at all. You're a QB2. Your QB1 is an undersized dude, a hit away from getting concussed and taken out of the game. Kevin Stefanski is a two-time NFL Coach of the Year. He knows a thing or two about coaching football. How unprepared did Shedeur Sanders look? Suddenly, he's not comprehending plays. Suddenly, he doesn't know the playbook. Suddenly, he doesn't know what's going on. That's not the reputation that we've ever heard about Shedeur Sanders. We've heard he's incredibly familiar with the playbook. We've heard that he's very, very smart. Now, the knock against him is that he's about the why. He's not somebody that just does what he's told. He wants to know why. That's true. But it smells. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but it smells to me. I really viewed him as being set up to fail. Or at least not prepared to succeed. Maybe set up to fail is too strong because it speaks to the intent of a malice nature by the head coach, Kevin Stefanski, which I would not do. I'm not going to impugn that man's integrity in any way like that. But can we at least say that he wasn't positioned to succeed? Can we say that? Ladies and gentlemen, we've seen some awful, awful, awful quarterbacks in NFL history that never looked like Shedeur Sanders looked yesterday. You complete just first two passes, and then after that, folks looking around, looking like, what's going on? Don't seem like they know whether they're coming or going. Not to mention the fact that with Dillon Gabriel, you get rid of the ball quickly because he's undersized, can't see over the line of scrimmage, got to get rid of the ball quickly because he can't see the field, and ain't the greatest deep thrower in the world. Whereas somebody like Shedeur Sanders does have an arm. He does have more size on him. And he does have a tendency to hold on to the ball for too long because he's not scared to stand in the pocket and wait for an opportunity to present itself so he can throw the ball downfield. You got two different types of quarterbacks. And you do nothing to prepare him? It smells, y'all. Somebody got to say it, so I'm going to say it. It smells. Coming back with your calls in just a minute. But first, tonight at 6:30 Eastern, don't miss Let's Go! As Jim Gray is joined by Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford, Raiders star Max Crosby, and Hall of Fame sports writer Peter King as they recap Week 11 around the National Football League. Listen to the extended episode on the SiriusXM app. Again, your calls and more up next. Don't touch that dial. The weekend's over. It's Monday afternoon. That means it's the Stephen A. Smith Show. SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, back with more in a minute.